What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man. You see him on the screen right there, my man, Brennan Marion, Sacramento State Hornets. It don't sting you. We got the football coach on the show now with his coach. What's up? How you doing out there in Sac Town, my brother?
Had a great day of practice getting ready for this weekend. Boys are excited, so we're looking forward to the matchup this weekend.
I hear that, Coach. I'm asking you, man, you come off a bye week, so how's that bye week for you and your team, man, to kind of reset and kind of refocus, look at the tape, see what you guys done well, self-scout, and kind of get a jump start on we mistake. We got Saturday coming up here on the road, brother.
Yeah, it was good for us to, you know, get the chance to get healthy. You know, a chance to look at our self-scout, a chance to see what we needed to do, what we did in wins, what we did in losses, and what we need to do to know, continue to build our team and our culture. Our players did a good job of, you know, coming in every day, working hard, getting the film study, getting the corrections, taking the challenge from the coaches, and then, you know, ultimately trying to change some of the stuff that's hurt us in games. And so I look forward to with the information that was presented to our players and the work that they put in, the opportunity to go out on the field and show that they've gotten better.
No doubt. And just having a first-year head coach like yourself, man, talk about setting the culture for your team, man, through the spring and summer here, now through fall camp, playing five games now. So talk about the cultures you want to set and development of these young men from when you got them in January and spring to now.
Yeah, really for us, it's about a transformational process here. Guys that, you know, maybe had been thrown away at their last school, not given the opportunity elsewhere with the JUCO guys that we have, revamp and revitalize, you know, from that standpoint. So for us, our culture is about really guys that love football, you know, and really what that takes is, you know, the love for the game will really make you be a better person in all the other aspects, you know. So we spend a lot of time on developing these guys' character, who they are as people, who they're grateful for and what they're grateful for in each and every day. And, you know, just really what their why is, you know, like having a purpose about yourself, you know, being a complete man. So when you get out here, you can be a great dad, you know, a good husband and, you know, be a positive influence in society. And, you know, so for us, I think we've done a really good job at that, of not being so transactional the way college football is right now, being more transformational and making sure we get these guys in the right headspace to be, you know, effective citizens in the community. Now it just needs to translate to wins on the field. But I think when you're making sure the locker room is clean, making sure the toilets are flush, making sure your locker's in order, making sure you're going to class, making sure you're not getting in trouble off the field, and you're doing all the little things right, eventually the big things will happen for you.
And, Coach, talk about this being process-oriented, not so much results-oriented, because I feel like if the process is the right process, the wins will come. So talk about keeping your guys more so on the process of it, knowing that the wins will come if we keep staying true to our process of how we do things here at Sacramento State.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to the guys. I mean, these guys have really great habits right now from the standpoint of they've taken all the habits that we used to force them to do in the winter and the spring, and they've made them their own. You know, all these guys have became real football guys now. What I mean by that is they're taking care of their academics. They're meeting extra They're coming in for all the extra rehab. They're doing the right thing. They're showing up on time early to the weight room in the morning to get, you know, mobility. They're eating, you know, all the meals. You know, nobody's skipping out on meals. So all those little details that make you consistent, that make you a winner, you know, in the long run, the championship habits, our guys have adapted and have those now. And like you said, I mean, really, we're 2 to 3 plays away from being 4-1 right now. And if you look at all of our games in the fourth quarter, we're either up in the game or we have a chance to win the game. It's a tight, competitive game. So for our guys, we can't be so performance-based. I told them it's really about vertical alignment, you know, your relationship with God, your relationship with the man in the mirror, your family, and then the work that you're putting every day, your team, you know, because it's consistent. Eventually that routine will pay off for you. You know, if you have the right mindset, you have the right habits, and you're consistent to the process, you know, guys will really, you know, take off in their futures. And so I look forward to seeing our guys take off this season. I still believe one great year can change our life, and we have the opportunity to still have a great year this season.
And, Coach, you said something very important there about the margins and how those little minor details will be watching the extra film to see this look they give you to know what to do or counter audible something else based on the look you see, that these small margins, them little small details, so those habits help you on Saturdays when you're in those adverse scenarios where I trust my work. I know mentally I've had these reps in my head. I've seen this look before. I know how to play this look. So talk about that, was having that little attention to detail, those small minute things that affect when that fans don't really see that you and I would see, but they don't understand those small details that determine these small margins of wins and losses on Saturdays.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked to our guys really in the bye week. We got really back focused to what our spring and our summer was like. Can you just dominate and win each day? Like, just be 1-0 on each day. So for us, that's waking up in the morning on time, right? Being at breakfast, being at, you know, hydration test, your mobility stretch, being at practice, being excited about practice, being in meetings, getting your extra meeting in the, you know, your academic meeting after going to class, that you complete the day. When you put your head on the pillow, do you know, man, I did every single thing I could to be successful today and put myself in a position to win. And for our guys, I think they really got that back in their head, you know, when they took that pause, you know, when you take a day off, 2 days off, and you really go like, okay, am I really doing this the right way? You know, because sometimes when you get into a routine, you start to forget the spirit and love you need to have with it to finish things. And, you know, so you can know the right assignment. You can know what you're supposed to do. You can know when the tackle sets this way, it's going to be a pass, or when his hand's a little heavier, that it's going to be a run. You can kind of know that. But if you get into a routine, you stop seeing those little details that make things happen. And so our guys, I said, it's still a spirit that you have to play with. It's still a love of the game you have to play with. It's not just, okay, I read the scouting report, I know what they're going to do, and then you kind of just go through the motions and do it. You still have to do it with great intent and purpose. So I'm excited to see our guys trying to turn the corner on knowing the information now and then playing with a little bit better spirit and mindset out there.
And you know what, Coach, I'll talk about this, you know, having the young men, they never want to lose games, but seeing them be still one with each other, have that camaraderie despite a negative outcome, and to keeping them focused on the greater good, that we're all in this together, we're going to make the correction we need to correct, we're going to be in this fight, our season's ahead of us, and don't let a loss here or there bring us down. Talk about make sure that the young men staying together and seeing them still be together in that locker room and still come out with that same enthusiasm to be better every day.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise around our program right now, right? And so what I tell these guys is the vertical alignment that you have with yourself, with God, with your family, with your team is really the most important thing, because really nobody outside of this locker room can help us win or lose a game. You know, like, they really have no effect on our outcome and our opportunities, right? And so everything that we do is about that synergy and staying together and the love for the team. And what I loved is our team is galvanized together when we have faced adversity on the field and we didn't get the result we want. We didn't crack. You know, everybody's waiting to see Sacramento just crash and burn because, you know, we have a lot of media buzz. Our president is really gung-ho about his school. He loves his university, and he wants to, you know, has a lot of energy about it, which anybody who went to their school, they should have a lot of energy about 100%. Their school, right? And so a lot of people, you know, even in the community here, would like to see us fail. And really what I tell the guys is that has no effect on how we play the game. They have nobody's going to like come on the field and play for us or stop us from playing. So really we can't determine what people are saying on social media, what people around us don't like or have a problem with. All we can do, like you said, is focus on our process, galvanize and come together as a team. You know, I always say like losers complain, you know, that old Bill Parcells quote, you know, they point fingers and complain. Winners assemble as a group. They come together and find a way to win with no excuses. And so that's what we have to do. We have to find a way to come together in spite of everything that's going on around us. And
no doubt, coach, like you said, man, and like, I'll tell you example. My dad's a former coach himself. I'm son of a coach, so I played myself as well. So it's like for me, I have struggles in the media, but sorry, because I'm independent. I'm on my own, right? So I have to fight a battle every day. And it's the weather. I'm going to let it bring me down. I'm going to keep on pushing. That's why I tell young men who I mentor, look at me. I don't step and I don't crumble. I find a way to get where I got to get in the media space despite being my own man. Coach, it's only me here. I have no interns. I do all this myself, right? So I'm trying to use that example with young men. Like, hey, look, my process is my process. I'm going to keep fighting every day for myself to be included in that space, despite me not working with somebody corporate. So that same mindset of your football team, I apply it to my media career as well from being a son of a coach. Like, hey, look here. I'll find a way. I know what I got to do to get this thing done, keep this show going in year 13, 14 now, coach.
There it is. That's right. You know, I told the guys today, I said, if I crumbled up a $100 bill, right, y'all would still want it, right? It would still be a $100 bill, right? And so a lot of times, you know, when people don't get the result that they want, they curl up in a ball, you know, and they give up. But I said, the ones that are the special ones, you know, they get up out of, they curl up out of that ball, back out there, and they just fight one more time. They just go for it one more time. And eventually, you know, you hit. And that's what our team has got to be about. You know, adversity causes some men to break and others to break records. You know, that's really been my calling card my whole life. I hope that my influence and my example every day, they have somebody in front of them who's faced a ton of adversity and overcame it and been able to become a head coach when they said you couldn't do that with tattoos on your hand and neck, or you couldn't be a guy from Section 8 to be successful. And, you know, I'm standing in front of them as a successful man trying to lead them to their success and make sure that they reach all their goals and dreams.
No doubt, coach. I'm asking you, business brother, for you, your journey as becoming a coach. When did you decide that you got the bug to want to coach and give back to the game that this way after your career didn't go where you want? You went to the Dolphins, with the NFL, under a free agent. For you, when did coaching become something you want to get into?
Yeah, really, when I tore my ACL, you know, those that can't teach, you know, so I got hurt. I'm trying to figure out what do I do with my life. I had a teammate of mine. You know, I was always like a team captain, a guy with the coaches, helped call plays, you know, like, so I was always kind of, you know, in the coach's ear, around the coaches. I've been in football since I was 5, you know, like it's really just my DNA. It's who I am, you know, from being from Pittsburgh growing up, you know, just football is, you know, really it for me. I've always just loved everything about the game. And so, you know, when I was sitting there hurt as a rookie, collecting a whole bunch of money, not doing nothing, laid up, partying every day, one of my friends said, man, you should go try coaching. And I'm like, man, I'm not coaching right now. I'm living good. You know, I got 3 cars. I'm getting money. Like, life is good from the standpoint of the materialistic world, the outside, you know. But internally, I was hurting, and I needed something to level me out and get me right. And the first day that I went out on the field and I helped a program at James Logan High School in the Bay Area where I was rehabbing my knee at, the first day I went on the field, every single kid looked at me like, man, coach, help me. Like, you got any drills for me? Can you teach me that stuff that you know from the NFL? And I was still in the NFL at the time on injured reserve. And, you know, that day that I walked on the field, I knew that's something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Like, the ability to help people and put them in better situations than when they started. You know, when somebody gives you a goal of theirs, there's just something about that for me that makes me just feel like I can't sleep at night till I help them reach that goal. And, you know, that's been my calling card, is just making sure that the people that I'm responsible for get the chance to live their dream.
I hear that, Coach. And like you said, man, this game has given us all so much. And like, for me to be able to use this platform to talk to guys like yourself, man, is a blessing right here, you know, because it keeps me close to it. Now, I ain't got to worry about losing on the radio.
No
I
doubt.
win every day on the radio.
No doubt.
But yeah, man, and like for you, talk about preparing to be becoming a D1 head coach. Like when you're assistant coach, I know you're loyal to your head coach, but how do you go about preparing yourself for the opportunity when it comes knocking for you like it did at Sacramento State? So how'd you kind of prepare for this opportunity that you have right now?
Yeah, for me, it was kind of a different way of doing it. I was a high school head coach first. So I always say, like, think with the end in mind. I became a high school head coach after being an assistant high school head coach for 2 years, became a high school head coach for 2 years. Then I got into the college game as a GA at Arizona State for Coach Todd Graham and Mike Norvell, who I played for at the University of Tulsa. Then went to a D2, and then just kind of worked my way up the level, worked my way up the ranks until I got to a position where, you just have to be really good at your job. It doesn't matter where you're at. Like, a lot of people don't understand the ability of, like, you network and you get to meet people. Your gift opens up doors for you, And so if you cultivate, then you start to meet people and you start to build a network and your name starts to get hot and starts to, you generate some momentum. And, really, that's what put me in a position to be here. I just had over time of being an assistant coach in college football for, some great head coaches at some great universities. I got a chance to work at, Howard, William and Mary, Pitt, Hawaii, Arizona State, Texas, UNLV. That my name had built enough momentum from the success that my players had and, the ability to help. I always tell my assistant coaches here, I'm like, a great assistant coach gets the head coach a raise or an extension. Like, there's not a guy that I worked for that did not get a raise or an extension as a head coach. And regardless if I was the best assistant coach or not, I made sure that I put that guy in a position to feed his family and give him, more opportunities. As a head coach, I think that's what a great assistant coach does. He's not necessarily a yes man. He's a man that puts the head man at the top, puts him, that old, I'm a military kid by, the way I was raised. So for me, it wasn't about trying to outshine the captain. It was that I'm on the boat, I'm going to enjoy the journey, and I'm going to make sure everybody knows the captain's name.
I hear that,
And so, you know what I'm saying? So that was really what my whole focus was on, just making sure that everybody knew in the country, wherever I was working at, that head coach was going to be the hottest head coach in America. And, ultimately over time that built momentum in my name. And when his job came around, I met the president here and we had great alignment. He's a foster kid who, went from really nothing to something, had a great story. He's really passionate about this university, and this community, and he wants to see it at the highest level. And I don't want to work anywhere where somebody's not committed to, trying to go get it and be hungry. And he's very hungry, President Wood and our athletic director, Mark Orr. I could see the hunger in their eyes, and we connected and had great synergy, and I was blessed to take this job here in Sacramento.
And you know what's cool for you be out there, Sacramento? My buddy Mike Bibby. I covered Atlanta Hawks too, so I covered Mike Bibby in Atlanta. And my man Mike Woodson is now associate head coach with the Kings. So I'm gonna be coming out there when the Hawks play the Kings. I'm gonna come out there. I'm gonna come see y'all, all y'all while I'm out there. I'm getting them off line. But yeah, man, Sacramento's hot right now. The capital city of California got some improvement. All your brothers out there doing your thing.
No doubt, no doubt. Mike Bibby, that's my dog, man. That's a great dude. I know that basketball team gonna be right. He got some great players in. It's going up in Sacramento for sure.
No, that got a few more for my good brother. Let me ask you, for the young recruits watching this interview today, tell them what do you look for in a player when you go kind of look at them on film or go watch them live? What are you gonna look for in a young man that's potentially maybe a fit for what you're building out here at Sac State?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for our program is someone that loves football. And, that is really hard in today's age because there's so much that you get to become a athlete now, basketball, football. There's so much that is, you have so much access to things. It's not that old school work in the dark and then, you know, once your skills are so good, then you'll show in the light. You know, a lot of times a kid has one good game and he goes viral and they think he's the next coming. And we really set these kids up for failure with social media, you know, in their process, you know. So a lot of kids think they arrive and then they, you know, fall down and have to get back up, you know, and go through that dark tunnel that they never really had a chance to go through in the first to build that callus and character. So for us, we're trying to find guys that, you know, love the game or have a great why, right? Have something that they're really going to, you know, play hard for. You know, and some people that's money, some people that's family, some people that's, you know, just trying to change their situation. They don't like the way that their life is going. But those are really the two, you know, like those three carrots that really drive a football player, student athlete to want to be successful in the classroom, want to do the things that we tell them off the field as far as community service and becoming a better person. You know, football is still that carrot that drives all those things to become an educated man and get a degree and come out here and be a successful citizen. So, you know, we have to find somebody who truly loves the game. And if a person doesn't love the game, then they have to have a strong story or a strong why or a strong reason on why that they want to join our program. Because I feel like when you have people like that, they're going to consistently show up and work and get better at their craft. And they're going to do all the things off the field to stay on the field to make plays and represent for us.
And also for you, Coach, I want to ask you this, man. You know, I live in a talent-rich part of the world, Atlanta and Georgia. How about the quality of football here, say, of Georgia, high school football players, and we can go in the portal and find a guy from Georgia who's really talented and can really help out your program. Just talk about the talent from your time in the college football coming down here and finding good players who can help contribute to winning.
Yeah, I mean, I owe a lot to Atlanta. Shout out to my Aunt Janet for, you know, I lived down there in Gwinnett County for a little bit as a kid. She used to take me to Clark Atlantic. Clark Atlanta, when she worked over there, you know, she used to work at Singular Wireless back in the day. She moved there from Pittsburgh. And I went to Sweetwater Middle School in Gwinnett, you know. So, you know, the Migos made it cool and call it North Atlanta. But to me, it's just Gwinnett. You know, I just call it Gwinnett. But
Gwinnett, baby.
Yeah, you know, so the talent is definitely there. I'm always able to have conversations with guys from the A. A lot of those guys have really, the reason why I'm sitting in this chair right now and I'm on the call with you as a head coach, you know, the Kalen Newtons of the world at Howard, he held it down and made a lot of plays. Ezzard, you know, made a lot of plays, was an All-American for me. Hodge Malik, you know, he was another guy from the South Side that made a lot of plays at UNLV, Jet Thomas, Westlake kid. You know, my man Steph over there is a trainer in the A. He's always linked me with those guys. Ricky White, you know, got drafted to the Seahawks last year. He did a lot of great things for us at UNLV, great receiver that played at Marietta. You know, so there's been a lot of guys throughout my career that have really impacted our program and helped me, and I've obviously helped them in their careers as well. From Atlanta, you know, that's just it just means something, you know, like I tell people all the time, you know, it's a little bit different. Like when you a kid, you're a boy and you're expected to play football and you're expected to be good at it, it just means a little bit more to you, you know? And so I've always loved to recruit Georgia athletes, Pennsylvania, where I'm from, Florida, Texas, California, where, you know, they expect you to be a ball player, you know, but the boys in Georgia got that swag, you know, got that swag to them. And it, you know, it always, you know, we even have a guy on our staff from Georgia. He tells everybody every day he's from Georgia, you know. So, and he started at Louisville, Coach Robbie. So, yeah, that Georgia ball is a little bit different.
Yeah, Coach, yeah, I went to Mays High School, so I'm a Benjamin Elijah Mays dude. So
there it is. There it is. That's right. That's right.
Indeed. I got two more for you, Coach. One on being, what is your advice to young coaches that are listening to us today to give them some words of wisdom about come up the coaching ranks, what how they can do to improve themselves as coaches and get to where you are at one day?
Yeah, I tell these guys, man, they really serious. They got to be coachable. They got to be willing to change and adapt and go places where there's a need for them. Want to join a really talent-rich staff, and they don't want to coach. But you have got to learn how to actually coach the game. I think the reason why I've had success is because I'm able to walk in multiple rooms and have an impact from the information that I have acquired from the great coaches that I've got a chance to be around. These guys have got to get around quality coaches, and then they have to get around players that need them, that have a need for what they have to offer. And they don't have to necessarily sit in one place. You know, there's multiple places where the game is played. There's over 13,000 high school programs. There's a million D2s, D3s, FCS, FBS, and group of five. Like, there's all types of programs that could utilize you. You know, just getting in the building is hard. Once you're in the building, it's about that impact and influence you can have, but really that knowledge that you can acquire. My grandfather used to always tell me, take everything that you like from each program, put it in a book, and be ready when you run your own. And, you know, so for me, you know, a lot of these guys now, because they see, you know, this, understand that that long process, that long journey that it takes, it's coaching is not a get rich quick scheme. It is a long journey to get where you at. Everybody says you're the young coach. I'm like, man, this is like year 15, year 16. Yes. I've really been in this game a long time, but they think it happened overnight. It's been a long grind to get here. It's been a lot of change, a lot of curiosity, a lot of acquiring information, and then staying coachable. It's been a lot of hard days. Listen, I know more football than you can, you know, and you got to take that. And you got to learn from guys that have been in the game 20, 30 years and get the information that they know, you know, extract the information. So, you know, I'm always looking forward to learn the next young coaches that are coming up, that are hungry, that want to change and change the game and adapt the game. But, you know, I think guys got to stay curious. They got to be able to change and adapt, and they got to stay coachable to the guys that have done it before them. You know, you got to pave the way for you.
And last one for you, Coach, without giving away the game plan too much, what are you seeing from Weber on film this week, man?
Yeah, I think they have an explosive running back on the offensive side of the ball, a really good offensive line, a left tackle and a right guard that can really move people. Their left tackle does a good job. He can win on an island. You know, he doesn't let people get around him. They have a receiver, number four, that I like, has speed. A one-play drive guy can take the top off of it. And then they have a guy, I think his number is 87, that can catch fades really well. Their coaches do a really good job of running plays that their guys can execute at a high level. Coach Mantle and the staff over there do a really good job. On the defensive side of the ball, they have some DBs on the corners that can really lock you up man-to-man, can play on an island. On the interior, I think they have two defensive ends that really get after it, 1 and 17, really can make solid pass rush moves off the edge. Number 0, their middle linebacker, I like the way he plays the game. He has an old-school mentality, come downhill and really will bring it to you. And then they have a safety, number 24, that I like, that can make some plays. So I think schematically they do a good job of putting their guys in a position to make plays. And then they have guys that can actually make those plays. And then, you know, I just think that, you know, it's a tough place to play going to Utah. So we got to be on our P's and Q's. We got to be ready for a dogfight, and we got to go out there and earn it.
No doubt. Coach Mary, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, man. Like I said, I got to get up with you. When the Hawks come play the Kings, I got to get up with you, my brother, for sure, my guy.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, man. Can't wait to meet you when you get out here.
Anytime, but it was fun.
All right, now.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.